Well, when I was a Methodist, we believed Jesus had given us a job to do. And that was to go into all the world and evangelize, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to disciple the nations, to teach them the ways of God. And that was what we were supposed to be doing with our lives. That was kind of the central focus of our religious expression, was this command, this need to go out and to evangelize. Well, when you read the Gospels, you read the Acts of the Apostles, that's exactly what the Apostles did, isn't it? Peter and Paul, they carried the Gospel of Jesus into northern Africa, into Syria, Asia Minor, into the Italian peninsula. Thomas the Apostle carried the Gospel into Chaldea and all the way to India. And there's a tradition that Joseph of Arimathea, remember him, he was the man who lent his tomb to Jesus after Jesus' crucifixion, that he took the gospel all the way to the Celts in the British Isles. They were driven to take the message of Jesus into all the parts of the world and to spread the good news of Jesus, that God loved them. And when you consider the pagan practices of the time, sometimes human sacrifices and just all kinds of things where you never could appease God. Everyone was afraid that the God or the gods were going to do something evil to them. And so they were constantly in that fear and trying to appease God. And for them to preach, no, Jesus has come. God has become human flesh. And he gave himself as the sacrifice. So God is not angry with you. God loves you. And that's the message that they were able to carry to the ends of the earth. Well, as the church became more institutionalized in the 3rd and 4th century, it was really the Roman Catholic Church, it was the church under the Bishop of Rome, that continued that evangelistic zeal, that took the gospel into places like China and Japan, that took the gospel into the Americas and into South America. They carried the gospel to all the places they could find, into Polynesia, where all these Catholic churches were founded, as the Catholic Church began to reach out further into the world. Now, I was raised Protestant, okay, and the Protestant missionary centuries were the 19th century, the 1800s, and on through the first half of the 20th century, where the great evangelical denominations like the Methodists and the Baptists, they would ordain itinerant preachers who would build churches all throughout the American West, and would also build missions in Africa and Asia and in many parts of the world. The evangelicals were carrying the gospel out. This drive to do what Jesus said to Peter, to be a fisher of men. To be a fisher of men. Well, in modern culture, we don't see things that way. One of the things that I think drove the evangelistic zeal in the 19th and early 20th centuries was this concept that if we didn't bring them to Christ, they were all going to go to hell. Well, I think in most Christian denominations, everybody was planning on going to hell, right? The Catholics used to think that the Protestants were going to hell, and I assure you the Protestants thought the Catholics were going to hell. In fact, this is really kind of funny, because I was raised Baptist, all right? Anybody here know some Baptists, have some Baptist blood in them? All right. I was raised in the South, and the Southern Baptists, they knew the Northern Baptists were going to hell. And I'm assuming vice versa, although I didn't know any Northern Baptists because we weren't allowed to talk to them. But this concept, everybody's going to hell. So the way to keep them going to hell is go tell them to be like us, right? And this was a problem in this evangelistic zeal of those centuries, that so many missionaries would go into places and they would tell the people, well, you have to live like a European or like an American to be a Christian. You have to dress like Americans, and you have to do things the, you know, American way. And and our faith got confused with our culture, and that created a lot of confusion. So now, well, a couple of things have happened now. First, a lot of people don't think that there is a hell. So why even bother evangelizing if religion doesn't matter? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or you're Christian or you're Buddhist or an atheist or Muslim or whatever. Just as long as you don't hurt anybody, everything is going to be okay. You know, I think that's kind of culturally what we think about faith and about religion right now. And the concept of evangelization, this concept of that God would want us to go out and be fishers of men, well, we think that's just kind of rude. You know, we're taught from an early age, never talk about religion or politics, right? Keep all that stuff secret. We just don't care. In fact, even just last year, this is an interesting thing. It's troubling kind of to me, but there was an evangelical missionary, a Protestant evangelical missionary, who was trying to take the gospel to this little island group in the Indian Ocean. Remember this? And he was killed. Well, this people group was protected by law from the modern world. And so, rather than being hailed as a martyr, this guy was treated as a criminal. And of course, he's dead. But everybody who helped him in his endeavor all went to jail because this group was protected from the modern world. And that troubles me. I mean, we're not going to allow them to have medicine. We're not going to allow them to have education because we somehow think it's cute and quaint that they're still in the Stone Age. Is that right or wrong? I don't know. But that seems to be the modern cultural concept. Just leave them in the Stone Age. They're just fine because nothing really matters. Well, I think that the concept of evangelization, the concept of trying to reach people for Jesus, it's inconvenient. But I think the reason we don't do it is that we misunderstand. We don't know what it means anymore. We know that it doesn't mean we want to go out and try to make everybody like us. We figured that one out. But what is it that we're supposed to be doing? Well, let's look at the way Jesus evangelized, all right? Let's see, what did Jesus do when he was in the flesh and he was ministering to the people of Israel in 30 AD? Well, he went about doing good, didn't he? Went about healing the sick and setting free the oppressed. He went about teaching people to care for the poor, to visit the lonely, to do for others as you would have them do for you. He taught them to believe in him as the Son of God. That's evangelization Jesus style. Now, can we do that? Could we go into our worlds at work or in our homes, in places we volunteer, in our schools? Can we go into those places with that message? That God desires to heal, to set free, to teach us to love, to teach us to pray, to teach us to have faith in him. Not necessarily try to make them like us. Not even particularly to try to make them into Catholics, but just to bring them to a point of understanding that God loves them and desires them to be healed and whole and enjoy the joy and the peace that God offers to us. Can we see evangelization in that light? Can that be making go out to be fishers of men? So how do we do that? Well, I think there are really four things, very simple things, that we can do within our own sphere of influence that would make a difference in people's lives. And the first thing I think we need to do is we need to care. You know, it's easy not to care in this day and age, isn't it? There are so many people. We go to work and we have little cubicles, right? And we work in rooms of cubicles. And there are so many people, and everybody's so busy, and there's so much pressure to produce. But just to connect with people and to let them know that we really care about them, that makes a world of difference. If we let people know that we really care about them, then they'll start taking off their Facebook faces and start sharing their real needs and concerns of where they're hurting and where they need help, where they need healing. That's the first step, just to care. And then when they come to share with us what their needs are, what their hurts are, to listen. Can we take time to listen? We are so busy. Taking time to listen is sometimes difficult. I know that. But take time to listen to people. There are an awful lot of people out there, let me tell you from experience, there are an awful lot of people out there who go for weeks, months, maybe years, with no one really listening to them. Loneliness is one of the great plagues of our modern culture. They show up, they work in their cubicle, they go home, they watch television, they go to bed, they get up the next day, they show up, work in their cubicle, go home. There's no interaction at all. Loneliness is a tremendous plague in our modern culture. Listen. And then take the next step. Pray. Pray with them. Pray for them. Let them know that not only do you care, but you believe there is a God who can make a difference in their life. Lead them in prayer. Something simple. Tell them you'll pray with them. Hold their hand. Say an Our Father. Everybody knows the Our Father. Protestants, Catholic, we all know the Our Father. And then invite them. Invite them. Just say to them, I'm going to Mass this coming Saturday. How about if we go together? I'll come pick you up. Afterwards, I'll take you to dinner and we can talk about it. Oh my goodness gracious, there are so many people who are hurting and lonely who would love to have someone invite them. Invite them. Just the simple act of inviting someone who is hurting and lonely to come and share in the great fellowship we have here. Invite them. And of course, you'll run into some who say, well, I'm not Catholic. Of course, you really don't have to be Catholic to come to Mass. You know, you can come to Mass. You can even, you know, come up at communion time. I'll give you a blessing. You know, it can all be good. And maybe they have a church home, but they haven't been in a while. So I say, well, what time is your church? You know, I'll go to Mass and then I'll go to your church with you. It's okay. You won't go to hell if you go to a Protestant church. You let somebody know that you love them. You let somebody know God loves them. You'll probably get a pretty good Bible study. I know you'll get great music. And not that we don't have great music here, Mike. I think our music's fabulous. We can be fishers of men in our current day. Don't think that because society has told us that it's rude to talk about religion, it's rude to share your faith. Don't believe it. Jesus spoke to Peter and said, follow me, and you will be fishing for men. That's a call that God has on each of our lives. You know, I think one problem that we have is that many of us see Mass as an obligation and not as a healing fountain. Perhaps we think we're doing people a favor by not inviting them to come be Catholic with us, because maybe we see it as a burden, it's as an obligation we have to come to. God still calls from His throne. We read in Isaiah, God called from His throne to Isaiah. And Isaiah looks at the majesty of God, and his train filled the temple, as Isaiah says. The train fills the temple, the glory of God. God still calls from his throne, but in this fallen world, God's throne is a cross, and his crown is a weave of thorns, and his iron scepter is a nail driven through his hands and his feet. If we are going to take Jesus into our families and into our workplaces, it is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some convenience. It's so much easier just to think about ourselves and not to reach out to think of others. We may have to rearrange our life schedule a little bit to reach into people's lives to find out who they are, where they're hurting, how we can help. Yes, it's going to cost us something. It cost Peter and Paul their lives. But God still calls from the throne. Who will go for us? Who can I send? Will we, like Isaiah, say, "Here I am, send me"?